and welcome into the Thursday edition of the show that is all about the South. I'm John Rawl, your friendly y'all host pilot, and I'll be skippering us through the next couple of hours of Southern conversation. And I do appreciate you taking time out of your very busy day to let your old Southern boy have a chance to talk a little Southern with you. If you'd like to get involved with the Y'all Show, we've got two ways you can do that right now, and you can email us anytime you want to, mailmail@y'all.com. Also, you can find us as a text option. You can text 615-208-4184. Appreciate all of you catching us on one of our great radio stations across the Southeast, and for all of you who listen to us each and every day in podcast form, hello and welcome to you, as the Y'all Show is available on podcast apps like Spotify. We're also on iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app, and we're in Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Free of charge. It is a great way to kind of keep up with what's going on across the South on a daily basis. And you can share it if you find something in that podcast you like and you want to let others know about it. Oh, it's just so dang easy to hit that share button and let everybody know. At the bake sale this weekend, they'll all say, hey, thank you for sharing that Southern show. What is that thing called with that James guy that hosts that show called You All? No. It's John, and it's called Y'all. All right, here's what we got on tap today. We got a busy show. We got a fun show coming up for absolute certain. So we've got headlines from across the Southeast that we're going to be covering in a big way. Included with that is a shooting at a fire station in Birmingham Wednesday. It looks like it's a targeted shooting of firefighters in Birmingham. What is this all about? I will let you know in our headlines of the South today. Plus, in the state of Georgia, a state Democrat, a legislator there, has switched parties, and this has happened, going to maybe have ripple effects within Georgia politics, and is this going to carry over to other states as well? We also have stories of the strange coming up in our headlines today. A man arrested in Oklahoma after he jumped into the Oklahoma River. That's not necessarily newsworthy, but the moron jumped into the river with a homemade parachute, and it's a big, tall bridge he jumped off of. What makes up a homemade parachute? I'll tell you in our headlines today. Plus, another sad story, but a bizarre story coming out of Middle Tennessee, as a dog has been shot and killed, but it wasn't by a gun. It was a marble that killed a dog there in Middle Tennessee, and I'll give you the details on that. How could that have happened? We'll let you know about that. Plus, Tom Cruise in Atlanta this week, as he surprised a crowd at a movie theater there. He's got a new movie about to come out, Tom Cruise in Dixie. We'll let you know about that. Plus, we were talking about dogs a second ago. How about this story out of the Sunshine State today? A city there has elected its first ever dog for mayor. That might not be a bad idea. Fido for mayor. We'll have that as all that is packaged in our news headlines of this Thursday Y'all Show. We also will fill you in on the latest sports news out of Major League Baseball and more. And we got news from Wimbledon as they're getting close to the championships. I guess the women's championship will be Saturday, and then the men will go at it on Sunday there on the grass of Wimbledon. And I'll fill you in on who is at least reaching the semifinal stages of the men's bracket of Wimbledon, the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest tennis tournament we see all year. I know we have the U.S. Open, but man, Wimbledon, to me, is the masters of tennis. So we'll have info on all that in our Southern Sports Report coming up this hour. Also this hour, we got hashtag Hullabaloo, and I've got a really cool article that we were not able to squeeze in on the Wednesday show, but I'm going to find a place for it today in hashtag Hullabaloo. It's a listing of the best 100 outdoor dining spots, and many of these are in the South, and I'm going to tell you what they are. If you're looking for that beautiful sunset romantic dinner, I've got your place lined up, all thanks to hashtag Hullabaloo. That's coming up in just a few minutes here in our opening hour. Hour two today, we've got our country music news that we'll be passing along. How about Diamond Rio, the country music act that got started back in 1991 or 1990? with a song called Meet in the Middle. And Diamond Rio's got a new song called The Kick. I've got information on the song and some personnel changes with Diamond Rio as part of our country music headlines that we'll be covering in hour two. Hour three today, I told you we were going to have a fun show. I do believe our Cajun cooker is going to come back on in hour three, Daryl Hicks. So we're still trying to get our management to sign the dotted line with his management. But if it all works out over the next couple of hours, the fun guy himself, Mr. Food, Mr. Cajun, Mr. Excitement, a guy that knows a thing or two about food, Daryl Hicks will be joining us for a great conversation. Plus, we'll try to get Daryl to stick around and help us in our final hour go through some of the awesome festivals that will be taking place across the Southeast this weekend. So Daryl is going to talk food and festivals in our final hour of this Thursday edition of Y'all, which is powered and packaged by y'all.com, the South's homepage. If you've not been there lately, please go there and check out the incredible variety of stories and information that we've got packaged at the South's homepage, y'all.com. Let's dive into these news headlines here to open up this Y'all Show Thursday edition. And what a disturbing headline to start off things with today, as two Birmingham, Alabama firefighters shot at their fire station in the Norwood section of Alabama, and of Birmingham specifically. This location is on the north side of Atlanta, or of Birmingham, rather. I always go through this area on my way to Atlanta. That's why I got confused. So the address of Station 9 in Birmingham is 1228 27th Street North. And at that location Wednesday morning around 8:30, two Birmingham firefighters shot in the chest and legs and rushed to the hospital. The police chief of Birmingham, Scott Thurman, said the shooter entered the fire station through the open bay door, which typically remains open to be accessible to residents who need their blood pressure checked or help with other information. The shooting happened shortly after these firefighters went on shift. And it looks like it, according to Chief Thurman of Birmingham's police department, it looks like it's a targeted attack. So why would someone walk in on a beautiful summer day early in the morning and target two Birmingham firefighters? Both were male firefighters, both taken to UAB Hospital in serious condition. So this is a developing story. We hope for the best for both of these firefighters, but a really, really tragic day when these two guys on duty in Birmingham, firefighters, for goodness sakes, people who are supposed to be out here saving lives and end up being the victims in this case. Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin putting out a statement saying that our hearts are extremely heavy in the wake of the shooting of two Birmingham firefighters this morning. These are two dedicated servants of our community. Now we must return the favor of service by providing them and their families the comfort, care, and support they need. The mayor went on to say, I also ask that you join me in lifting up the entire Birmingham Fire and Rescue Team as they rally around their comrades during this very difficult time. If you happen to have any knowledge of what happened in Birmingham Wednesday morning when these two firefighters were shot at their fire station and have been in serious condition, please call Crime Stoppers in the Birmingham area, 205-254-7777. 205-254-7777. Our thoughts with the Birmingham Fire Department and to everybody in the Magic City, and we wish the absolute best for these two firefighters as they fight for their life in a senseless shooting, it appears. To the Atlanta area we go. That's where you will find the state capital of the Peach State, and a legislator, a Democrat there in Georgia, who represents a district in the Georgia State House on the north side of Atlanta. This legislator has now switched to the Republican Party after she became at odds with Democrats for reasons including her support for school vouchers and disciplining prosecutors. The state representative is named Misha Minor, and Minor becomes the only black member of the GOP among Georgia's 236 state lawmakers. So Georgia now has one black Republican amongst 236 other Republicans. That's not very good odds. That's not a very good ratio. Georgia, and I'm sure that same ratio probably is similar across all of politics. And if you will let me rant here for just a second, I don't understand the absolute loyalty that is out there with black women specifically, but just blacks in general. Why do they have such a huge, huge percentage of the Democratic Party? How do I know this? We would not have Joe Biden in office if not for black women. Black women are the reason he was the winner of the South Carolina primary back in 2020, early 2020 when they held that. Joe Biden couldn't buy a bucket of popcorn in Iowa and New Hampshire when it came to that primary season. I think he finished fifth in Iowa, or maybe both in Iowa and New Hampshire. He was struggling. But when he came south and the black vote mattered and the black women vote specifically mattered, and he got Jim Clyburn to back him, that completely turned his race around and he would emerge as the winner. And so what the affiliation is, I don't quite get it. I don't think, and this is me just in my opinion here, I'm sorry, as a Southerner born and bred and raised and plan on likely dying in the South unless somebody wants to take me away to some tropical island and pay me millions of dollars to sit there to eat cookies and drink chocolate milk, that's a pretty good plan. But if that plan doesn't come through for me, I'm likely going to fade away right here in Dixie, and that's not a bad place to be. So as a tried and true Southern boy, as a lot of you might be, Southern boys and Southern girls, I just don't understand why there's essentially no black Republicans. We've got literally a handful across all of our Southern states. And usually, if you're a black Republican, you become a superstar. We got our guy running for governor, Cameron, in Kentucky, for example. He's a superstar. Your lieutenant governor in Virginia is a superstar in Republican politics. Who am I leaving out? I'm not aware of any black Republican of any status in the state of Tennessee. I'm not aware of any in Alabama. I know Mississippi doesn't have any. I just don't understand it because, again, going back to my Southern roots here, I don't think there's that much difference between a black person and a white person in today's world. I think that most black people are they're definitely more conservative than they are liberal. So when Democrats embrace the wackiness that I believe is the things they embrace, whether it's abortion or trans rights, or it might be, what else do Democrats really get into? There seems to be a big divide. Gay marriage, for example, when that was going on, and in my opinion, still going on. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who, it may be a law, but we don't like it. And that's one thing I wish some conservatives would try to outdo the Supreme Court. You know, the Democrats, they get beat by the Supreme Court, and they immediately, like Joe Biden, say, well, we're going to go around there, we're going to come up with some legislation to push for abortion, codify abortion in this country. Well, it'd be nice maybe if some conservatives, even if it was a losing cause, might say that the federal government doesn't need to support gay marriage. Maybe the government, period, should not be endorsing marriage of any kind. I'm kind of for that. Why do we have to get a government's blessing when we want to get married, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual? But I don't hear any people in office pushing that agenda like you might would find on the left side whenever they get beat in a Supreme Court setting. But some of these differences are why the Georgia State Representative Misha Maynor has decided to switch parties. And at a news conference this week, Maynor said legislative Democrats drove her out of the party for breaking party orthodoxy, as she at a news conference at the Georgia Capitol this week, said that the Democrats in control in Georgia relentlessly tried to sabotage everything that she had done for District 56 and publicly slandered her in every way imaginable. This is a black woman in Georgia that's now switching her district from D to R, giving the Republicans just a little bit more of a bragging point in the state of Georgia. She, in a statement, also said, "I am encouraging more black Americans and black Democrats in particular. You might have this coat on, but I suggest you look at the lining, see what's on the inside." Hey, that's a very good point there. Again, state politics talk here from Georgia, but a big deal because it brings up the fact that blacks in particular, but especially black women, have had no interest. I won't even blame Republicans on this. They've had no interest in joining the Republican cause. And I don't quite understand why. Because usually you're going to have a sampling by default, if nothing else, of 20%, 30% of a group just because they're rebels, if nothing else, will say, yeah, I'm gonna go this way. And we know historically, before the great switch of the 50s and 60s, blacks were Republicans. They weren't Democrats. The Democrats were the Jim Crow party, if you will. And again, I always try to remind people, that's not an excuse to be a Republican today. What happened 50, 60 years ago with the parties is completely irrelevant today. And in a lot of ways, the parties literally just kind of flipped, especially with their followers. You follow me? Don't you hate when people say that? You follow me? All right, let's move on to a wacky story of the day. A man's been arrested in Oklahoma after he jumped into the Oklahoma River. Oklahoma City police say they arrested Zachary McGee after they got calls about him sitting on top of the Exchange Bridge. And then he jumped into the river and then ended up arguing with police when they got him out of the water. According to police, he had said that he had jumped off the bridge into the river 15 to 20 times because he gets too hot. Okay, that's fine. We'll let you go. No problem. Now, the other thing about this guy, in addition to jumping off the bridge because he gets too hot, is Mr. McGee had a homemade parachute. And I'm trying to figure out what makes up a homemade parachute. It must be a pretty good one. He said he jumped off 15 to 20 times into the Oklahoma River, flowing right through OKC. Well, he's under arrest now. He won't be jumping to anything but maybe a jumpsuit while he's in the Hooskow of OKC. But Zachary McGee, bridge jumper extraordinaire and homemade parachute maker extraordinaire. Something's not quite right with that guy, in my opinion. But I'm glad he's okay. He's okay physically. Mentally, I'm not so sure. And lastly, in our headlines for this hour, Fox Nation, the streaming service, has announced a new docuseries that will be coming out. And if you have been missing the Murdoch family saga for a while, that saga of March and April when they were on trial, Alec Murdoch in South Carolina, there's a new docuseries coming to Fox Nation called The Fall of the House of Murdoch. And it will be a three-part series focusing on the life and crimes of Alec Murdoch, about how he was convicted of killing his wife and son earlier this year. And the amazing thing is, this new docuseries on Fox Nation is going to include an interview with the only Murdoch that's not in jail and is alive, Buster Murdoch, the redheaded guy. It's going to be his first TV interview since the trial. And this is also going to include interviews, this docuseries about the South Carolina power family that fell apart after Murdoch, who's now been found guilty of this, murdered his wife and son, and now has been in under investigation for some other deaths that happened around him and all the other criminal things he's done, white-collar crimes, stealing from his law firm, et cetera, et cetera. This Fox Nation series, I miss this guy. This guy was a heck of a prosecutor. Irmo, South Carolina's own Creighton Waters will be featured in this, as well as the Attorney General of South Carolina, West Columbia's own Alan Wilson. And then you got the kennel manager from the plantation type thing they had there, their farm. Moselle Dog Kennel Manager Roger Dale Davis Jr. is going to be on there, as well as a forensic expert that was part of the whole saga, Dr. Kenneth Kinsey, and many more, all part of this Fox Nation docuseries that will debut this fall. And again, it's going to feature the fall of the House of Murdoch. It's going to feature Buster in his first TV interview when this comes out. I understand this guy's, assuming Buster is as clean as the white snow, and I hope he is. I hope he has a great life, because his mother was murdered, his father did the murdering, and then his brother got murdered. That's a tough, tough road to hoe. I hope the best for the guy, assuming he has had nothing to do with his dad's stupidity and evilness. Buster, we wish you well, sir. We do. Tough road. And that wraps up our headlines here for the opening hour of the show that shakes the Southland. We are the Y'all Show. When we come back, we will take a quick look at some Southern sports news of the day. And included to that is what's up with Wimbledon. We've got the championship of that major tennis tournament taking place on the grass there at the Old English Club in London, England, or just outside of London. We'll give you an update on what's going on with Wimbledon and tennis when the Y'all Show comes your way with our sports report, and that's headed your way in the near future here on the Y'all Show. So hang on. We'll be right back with y'all. You don't want to miss it.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We're small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Oh, yeah, some good early 90s country music courtesy of Diamond Rio here on the show All About the South. We are y'all with your general of all things Southern, John Rawl, steering the way. And some Diamond Rio news coming to you in hour two. We have our Nashville Music Line report, all that's happening in country music. And Diamond Rio's got a new song. I'm going to try to dig that out of the box here and play that for you. It's called The Kick. And we've got some other Diamond Rio news to pass along when that portion of the Y'all Show arrives in hour number two. So excited to tell you about that. Also, here in this segment, excited to give you an update on all that's going on with Southern sports. It's our Southern sports report here on the Y'all Show. And we got a little tennis to get things going coming from across the pond as the 2023 Wimbledon tournament is going on, one of the four major tournaments each year in the sport of tennis. And we've got your semifinals all set for the men. As I apologize if I butcher these names. None of these guys are American. I know Novak Djokic, he's in the semifinals. He's playing what looks like is an Italian tennis player, Jannik Sinner. And that guy's from like up in the Alps, up around the Austrian border is where he's from. That's why he has a Germanic-sounding name. Probably German is his first language. Yannick Sinner. He's a sinner. He's in the men's semifinals, and also on the men's side, the other semifinals, a Russian. How about that? Medvedev. He's in there. Daniil Medvedev. He's in the semifinals, and he'll be going up against the number one player, Carlos Alcaraz. And that's the men's semifinals of Wimbledon. That's what's going on with the fellas. Now, what about the ladies as they get ready for their championship going on in Wimbledon? And depending on when you're able to catch this show, I can't guarantee these matches have already come to an end or not. I think some of them are early on this Thursday. But we've got, how about this? A native of Ukraine, Elena Svitolina. She's in a semifinal. You can watch this center court matchup. She's taking on, it looks like, a Czech tennis player, Markita Vondrousova. Then you also, in the women's semifinals of Wimbledon, the other match features Ons Jabeur versus Arina Sabalenka. And I'm not totally sure what countries those two are from. One of them is from Belarus. Arina Sabalenka is Belarusian, which is an ally of Russia right now in this whole Russia-Ukraine thing. But putting politics to the side, remember, I think it was just last year, Russia and their players were forbidden from even being in Wimbledon and some of the other tennis matches. So you got a Russian in the men's singles semifinals. Wimbledon going on. Breakfast at Wimbledon. I remember Bud Collins of NBC when he would have that in his nice little blazer and beard on NBC in the years of yesteryear. You can watch Breakfast at Wimbledon this weekend with the women, with their championship should be set for Saturday. And then the men will do their thing on Sunday. The NFL has picked the New York Jets to be the subject of this year's Hard Knocks. The NFL and NFL Films selecting the green and white Jets to be this year's featured team. This is a program that HBO's been having for many years now, where they go into training camp and they do a great job of giving you the inside look of what it's like to be on an NFL team. And this year, the Jets have a lot of excitement. In addition to Hard Knocks featuring the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. How about Aaron Rodgers, the four-time MVP, moving over from Green Bay to be the signal caller for New York this year? I think he's going to do a great job. I really do. By the way, the New York Jets report to training camp Wednesday. So we're just days away from NFL training camps starting. I wonder if they're playing in the first preseason game this year. They must be. That might be why they're showing up, in my opinion, rather early. The Detroit Lions were on Hard Knocks last year. And actually, the Jets were on Hard Knocks way back in 2010, so it's their second time around. But ought to be fun. I'd love to see some inside footage of what Aaron Rodgers is really like. I think he must be a hard guy to deal with, as Packer fans would likely agree with that statement, seeing how he's been teasing for years that he was going to hang it up. And now in Green Bay this year, he says, I'm going to take my talents to the lowly New York Jets. But they may not be so lowly if he gets back into MVP form, as he might just do. By the way, I just mentioned the Detroit Lions. Y'all, I had an out-of-body experience on Wednesday. I'm driving around, and you wouldn't believe what I saw. I saw somebody driving around with a Detroit Lions license tag on the front of their car. I have never seen that. Never, never, ever have I seen a Lions fan driving around proudly with their Lions logo. Maybe they just couldn't find a Dallas Cowboy or Pittsburgh Steeler license plate when they were down at their local gas station. I don't know. That's terrible to say. I apologize, Lord. We've got more sports news we'll pass along in upcoming hours, including info out of Memphis and Ja Morant. What in the world's going on with his saga that continues to make headlines? Having all that coming your way as we roll on, but we'll go to a break here on Y'all and come back. And on the show, we're going to switch over and give you a report on the best outdoor dining spots in America, many of which are in Dixie. That's part of our hashtag Hullabaloo report. where we get stuff off of social media and just share it with all y'all. And you know what? We're going to share that when we come back. So don't miss out on the fun. We want to hear you here at Supertalk 93.1 on shows like The Y'all Show, The Patriot Pastor, and The Frankie Lack Show. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Supertalk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Supertalk 93.1 text line.
Baby, what do you say we just get lost? Leave this one horse town like two rebels without a cause. I've got people in Boston, ain't your daddy still in Des Moines? We can pack up tomorrow, tonight let's flip a coin.
All righty, thank you. Joe D. Messina. I've been featuring some of that good 1990s music right here on The Y'all Show. And, man, that was a fantastic song. Of course, there's been a little bit of a remake, if you will, of that song here that has hit the charts over the last few months. Welcome back. We are talking about all things Southern on this, The Y'all program. And if you want to get involved, you can drop us an email any old time, mail@y'all.com. And if you want to put right there on that email my name, which is John, and that's J-O-N for all you keeping score. John is my name, and my last name's Rawl, R-A-W-L. John Rawl, the Y'all guy. Would love to hear from you here at The Y'all Show. In fact, if you've got something you want us to talk about, we can include that in what we call hashtag hullabaloo. This is what normally is off of social media, but hey, anything going right now, we'll be happy to pass along. So with that in mind, let's start off a little hashtag hullabaloo for today on this Thursday edition of Y'all. And let's dive right into the madness of social media, where we go on to Twitter. And today's Twitter revelation that we get has to do with food. It comes from Lord Byron's Kitchen. Byron's Kitchen is the account on Twitter. And the tweet coming out of Lord Byron's Kitchen says, "A traditional relish with a southern twist, prepared with corn, tomatoes, onions, bell peppers, and jalapenos. Southern corn relish is a condiment that demands respect and attention." Because of time constraints, I'm not going to sit here and read off this whole recipe because it's actually somewhat detailed. But let me tell you, y'all, go to LordByronsKitchen.com and search for the Southern Corn Relish, and you'll find this amazing Southern Corn Relish recipe. It's a relish with a southern twist, as Lord Byron's Kitchen is out here talking about. It's got, as we said, corn, tomatoes, onion, bell pepper, and jalapenos all mixed in together. Yummy, yummy. Okay, see, that's why this show host job here at the Y'all Show can be somewhat tedious and make me hungry. Hungry. I'm hungry for this next item that shows up on hashtag hullabaloo. Got this story forwarded our way, and I want to walk through this. It is a new article that's come out of the 100 best places for outdoor dining in America. It is an annual list compiled by Open Table. And there are many restaurants in the South. In fact, Florida has 17 on the list alone. One of them really high on the list. Some states like Alabama got left out. What? There's some great places for outdoor dining in the heart of Dixie. Come on now. According to Open Table, the list focus was on spots which offered delicious food, beautiful views, and above all, incredible outdoor dining experiences. There were more than 13 million Open Table diner reviews that were analyzed for this list, with the authors noting outdoor dining increased by 20% in May and 19% during the first half of June in comparison to last year's number. So, how about that? People like to eat outside, and we're going to walk through from this website, opentable.com, the most popular restaurants for outdoor dining for this past year, for right now, if you must know. So get ready. We're going to try to, I got to figure out how they've got this thing sorted out. They make it somewhat hard here. Let's see here. Open Table. Come on. I want your article. Well, it looks like they got an unusual way of sorting it out. So I'm going to have to do it this way. It looks like I have to choose it by different markets. So let's go in alphabetical order. Austin, Texas. Their choice for this list of best places for outdoor dining, Steiner Ranch Steakhouse on the northwest side of Austin. Looks great. I'm looking at the picture. As one of the more popular places for outdoor dining, it's one of the top 100 places in America. Charleston, hey, the holy city, and South Carolina, you got two locations that are showing up. So it's not Charleston, it's really the two places showing up are one's in Hilton Head, Charlie's Coastal Bistro, on the island. Got incredible seafood and 5 stars, the review for Charlie's Coastal Bistro on Hilton Head Island. The other one is in Greenville, Sobeys. Sobeys in Greenville made the list for South Carolina. I think those are your only two South Carolina restaurants in the listing of best outdoor dining spots in America. Up next, we've got North Carolina, Greensboro. Let's click on that one. And we've got in Greensboro, Green Valley Grill has made the list. Also in Greensboro. Did I say Greensboro earlier? It's Greensboro, North Carolina. I know there's a Greenville too. Green Valley Grill, a lot of greens there. And then also in Greensboro, home of the Spartans, you got Print Works Bistro as an incredible place to have an outdoor meal because it's part of Open Table's most popular restaurants for outdoor dining for 2023. Out of the entire country, they picked the top 100, and I'm telling you what a few of them are here on today's Y'all Show. Let's go to the state of Tennessee and in Memphis, Coastal Fish Company has made the list as one of the great places to have an outdoor meal. And Coastal Fish Company, it looks like it's in Shelby Farms, kind of on the east side of Memphis. 5-star reviews, looks like a great option there in the Bluff City if you're looking for a great place to have an outdoor meal. That made the cut. Also, we'll take you to Texas and San Antonio area. You've got as a great outdoor option a good French place in San Antonio, Brasserie Mon Chouchou. That's in downtown San Antonio, and also in the downtown area, you've got Cappy's Restaurant making the cut as a great outdoor option, according to OpenTable.com. Now, moving over to other cities in the country, according to this Open Table directory of the top restaurants in the country for going to outdoor locations. Let's go to Florida. I've got a couple of here I know that made it. In Pensacola, how about this? The Grand Marlin of Pensacola Beach. got nearly 6,000 positive reviews. It's a incredible place just across the bridge from Gulf Breeze for delicious dining and food. You can enjoy that at the Grand Marlin of Pensacola Beach. And we keep going with our other options. I know Florida's got a lot, so let me check out one in Virginia first. Ada's on the River in Old Town Alexandria. And then you've got coming from Northern Virginia in the Great Falls section of Northern Virginia, right up the Potomac from D.C., you've got another French restaurant that made the cut for great outdoor locations, L'Auberge Chez François. I did not take French in school, so if I butchered that, my apologies. And that may... Nope, we got one more coming to us from both North and South Carolina. Right there in Calabash, North Carolina. Love Calabash seafood. And right there on the Atlantic coast, up from Myrtle Beach, between Myrtle Beach and Wilmington, North Carolina, where Calabash, North Carolina is located, you got the Oyster Rock Waterfront Seafood has made the cut as one of the best outdoor places in America. Love it, love it, love it. Now, as I said, Florida's got a whole host of places that made the cut. So if you'll bear with me, I'll read off a few of these for you. If you're heading to Florida anytime soon or you're in Florida and you're looking for an incredible restaurant and you're looking for a place with an incredible view, outside view, here we go. Naples has a couple. They've got Alberto's on 5th, Campeo, and Del Mar out of Naples. And I better not leave out the Claw Bar has made the cut, too, as one of the best outdoor places in all of America. Celebration Florida's Columbia Restaurant made the cut. Fort Myers Connors Steak and Seafood. Longboat Keys Dry Dock Waterfront Grill. One of the best outdoor venues in America, according to this website. Jensen Beach's Kyle G's Prime Seafood made the cut as one of the most popular outdoor dining spots from OpenTable.com. Hey, who doesn't want to go to Key West? And when you're in Key West, you can go to Latitudes Key West on Sunset Key for one heck of a sunset. Also, Tampa's got a place here, Ocean Prime, with a great place to have a nighttime with the sunset going down. Tampa also has Ulele as a great outdoor spot, according to this website. And a reminder, in Pensacola, it's that Grand Marlin of Pensacola Beach making the cut. I don't see any in Panama City. I don't see any in Destin. I don't see any in Tallahassee, for goodness sakes. Come on, you don't have to be right on the Gulf of Mexico or over. I mean, what about Jacksonville? I don't see a Jacksonville place listed either. But I'm sure they got great spots. They just didn't make the cut, as, again, Florida alone had 17 restaurants chosen on this list of Open Table Diners Choice winners for the best outdoor experience. It was a user-generated, reader-evaluated type survey they come out with every year. It's an annual list. And the 100 best places for outdoor dining from this website. So I hope your state will enjoy, if you have a chance to go to any of the places I mentioned, you can. And if you're on vacation, you will certainly take advantage of the incredible variety. I mean, I just told you about a place in Calabash, North Carolina, the Oyster Rock Waterfront Seafood Joint with the great view there and the great food. And then we've got several French restaurants I told you about that made the cut too. So it's I would say, attaboy, attagirl, whoever there at OpenTable.com helped propel this most popular outdoor dining list. I agree. Now, bucket list, I need to go knock off, and you can join me, a tour of every one of those places, in the South at least. I'll worry about outside the South next year. But for now, we'll try to at least make sure that list is accurate. Well, that will wrap up our first hour of the show that covers everything Southern. We are the Y'all Show. Hope you enjoyed that. Stay tuned. When we come back in hour number two, we have more headlines from across the Southeast. And we'll also tell you some country music news. Diamond Rio's got a new song called The Kick. I'll tell you about that. This 1990s country band still going strong. All that and some sports news, too. So stay tuned to The Y'all Show. Back talking about what's going on in the 16 southern states: Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia. Yep, we're southern and we make no apologies. I'm John Rawl. I'm the host of this, what we call Y'all Show. And we're powered by y'all.com. It's the South's homepage. Go there right now and see some great stories, perfect for summertime reading. And at y'all.com, you can also find posted right there a tab called Y'all Show. And there you'll see the more than 600 episodes of this show that we've cranked out over the last 5+ years. Quite proud of it. And I think you'll enjoy listening to the Y'all Show, as you might be doing right now. I hope you are, and we want you to share it too. This show broadcasting on really cool radio stations in the Southeast, and we're also available in podcast form. If you miss any portion of this show on a radio station, or you just want to go back and listen to it again, you can do that in our podcast option, and the podcast is available absolutely free, and you can find it on Spotify. Just search for Y'all Show. You can find it on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, and we're also in Apple Podcast and Apple iTunes. All search Y'all Show. Just type that in there, and you'll see our beautiful red and black logo with our Y'all logo, and you'll be all set to get y'allified with our daily show, a 3-hour conversation about the South each and every day. And we could not do it without your participation and your input. And so we want to encourage you to email us at mail@y'all.com and reach out to us any other way you can to let us know how we're doing. We need an evaluation from you. So thank you, and we want your feedback. We want story ideas. We're looking for help, and we appreciate it here at the Y'all Show, because it's one thing to do it, but when you know that people are enjoying it and they appreciate it, then that means a whole lot more, because this is truly a work of love of the South. Is why I do it. And that reciprocal appreciation of this region hopefully is shining through on your end. I sure hope so. We got news headlines coming up in hour two today. We also have our country music report. We call the Nashville Music Line Report. I'm going to give you some information on Diamond Rio, the country band of the 1990s that Marty Rowe has been the lead singer of. I'll give you some info on that. And a new song coming out from Diamond Rio. Plus, it looks like they're going to try to spice things up. Diamond Rio making some changes. Plus, Trace Adkins, the crooner out of Louisiana, awesome guy, my fellow Civil War and Confederate history buff, Trace Adkins, has gone to Mayfield, Kentucky. And I'll tell you why in our country music stories of the day. And if time permits, I know she's not country, but one of these days, I guarantee you, Louisiana native and Mississippi educated Britney Spears is going to come out with some kind of country music album. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's not coming quite yet, though, but I'm going to try to squeeze in a Britney Spears update. She's got a new memoir coming out in October. I'm going to fill you in on the details. How about that? Britney Spears, in addition to trying to get into scuffles with 18-year-old NBA first-round draft picks, the guy might be 19, actually, Wembanyama, the new San Antonio Spurs player that she had a little dust-up with the other day in a casino in Vegas. Instead of going out and trying to touch that guy. She at least touched or told somebody to touch a keyboard. And she's got a new memoir called The Woman in Me. It's coming out soon. I'll tell you more about it in our country music headlines of today. That's all coming this hour, plus some more sports news that we will pass along before we head over to Hour 3. By the way, Hour 3 is going to be awesome. If we can still pull this off, Daryl Hicks, the Cajun Cooker, is going to be back on, and that will be delicious having him back. And then we'll have Daryl stick around and walk through some of the great festivals going on across the Southeast this weekend. We got some good ones. I know I saw the list that includes a couple of peach festivals. Lainey Wilson's going to be at a peach festival in Gaffney this weekend. Yay, yay. Where's Gaffney? I'll tell you where it is. And let's see, there's, I know, a blackberry festival or two going on this weekend, and at least one place has got some kind of seafood festival and lots of good music festivals. Winona is going to be playing at a festival in Kentucky that I'll tell you about in our Festive South. Festivals taking place this weekend. It's not too late to go get your automobile or your motorcycle revved up. Go change your oil. I need to do that. Note to self, change oil and get ready for a big weekend. We want y'all to have fun. Remember, if you got little ones, we're about to run out of time. I mean, school's about to start back in a couple of weeks. I just mentioned in the previous hour, NFL training camp for some teams starts next week. Yikes. Where's the summer gone, man? So we'll have all that coming up. You don't want to miss out of what's going on. Let's take you to headlines from across the Southeast today. And we start off in Middle Tennessee. An owner of a dog is mourning the loss of their beloved pooch. This dog was shot. Joey shot on Thomasville Road in Chapmansboro. I'm not totally sure where Chapmansboro, I guess that's in Cheatham County, west of Nashville. I don't think I've been through Chapmansboro, Tennessee. I better change my itinerary and get there right now. But a woman named Becky Engel had her beloved pooch, Joey, riding beside her this month when a pickup truck veered toward her in Chapmansboro in Cheatham County in Middle Tennessee. And there, when that happened, when that truck veered toward her, Becky Engel said that she believed someone inside that truck shot a marble through the open window, and that marble came through and hit her dog, Joey, in the head. And that dog, unfortunately, died after a marble shot out of a truck hit her car. And it could have hit her. She said once this whole incident happened, she heard a noise, and then she saw that Joey's head had flopped over, and she rushed him to the vet, tried to save him, but his injuries were too severe. She says there's no way she'll ever fill the void that he filled up because he filled everything, her beloved dog. She said they shared a special bond. She said he was the first thing and the last thing every day for 10 years that I spoke to, and he wasn't just a dog. He was part of my family. My kids call him their little dog brother. He lived to be 10 years old before a marble killed him. Engel says she hopes to find the person responsible for shooting a marble at her car. Anybody with information can contact the Cheatham County, Tennessee Sheriff's Office. Just an unfortunate thing. Again, I'm sorry the dog died, but man, if a marble can kill a dog, then it could have hurt her too. Could have hurt a lot of other people. Don't do this, people. I mean, this almost sounds like something a child or a kid, teenager, would have been out doing stupid things like this. I assume. I'm stereotyping. It could have been a 90-year-old person shooting marbles. But this dog, of which I don't know the breed of this beloved Joey dog, but sure look cute. I'm actually looking at it. It's a little dog. Little cute dog here. Maybe a Shih Tzu of some type. And this reminds us how much people have that bond to their animals. I've never quite had the bond that some of my friends have had with their pet. And it it's a good thing. I mean, pets have a purpose. I mean, if you don't like a dog, I don't think that's the dog's problem. I think that's your problem. I like dogs. What I don't like is when I'm wearing shorts, and especially the labs, the big dogs, etc., come up sniffing, and they lick my leg. Ew, I don't like that at all. And the owners probably think it's just so cute to see their dog coming up and licking and smelling and all that. I probably don't like it that much even in the dead of winter when I have a couple of layers of pants on and they're not actually touching skin. But when I got my bird leg showing in my shorts, I don't want to have some pooch licking up on my leg. Sorry. I know your dog's probably wonderful, but I don't want the scent of dog on me if I can help it. I'm sorry about Joey, but we Southerners, we have that affection for our pets. Now, that's the one advantage of a cat. I don't have too many cats coming up and licking my leg. They might come rub up on my leg. And cats, we all know, they're different creatures. So if you've got a cat that you have that bond with, yeah, they're likely going to come and not just purr and do all the fun cat things. They're going to show you a lot of attention. But usually, if you don't have a long history with a cat, you're never going to see that cat if you're going into a place. They're going to be over there behind a couch or under a bed. They're pardon the pun, scaredy cats. And that does separate most cats from dogs. But I hate that Joey's moved on to doggy heaven because some idiot, it looks like, shot a marble into her car and killed Joey. Mm. Rest in peace, Joey. If you were like me and a whole bunch of people across the nation, not just in the South, you were captivated by the Alec Murdoch trial that went on earlier this year. And Fox Nation is now going to come out with a 3-part docuseries called The Fall of the House of Murdoch. It's about the life and crimes of Alec Murdoch, who was convicted of killing his wife and his son, Buster. Was it Buster? I've already forgotten. It was, whatever his name. Buster's the one that's alive, I'm sorry. Paul, that's it. I knew it'd come back to me. The daddy convicted earlier this year of killing his wife and son in South Carolina. They lived in Hampton, but this crime happened in Colleton County, which is where Walterboro, South Carolina is, and the trial held in that quaint southern town of Walterboro in the South Carolina Lowcountry. Fox Nation coming out with this Fall of the House of Murdoch. It's going to debut in October. The incredible thing about this series, it's actually going to feature the firsthand account of Buster, the only surviving Murdoch that's not in jail. Buster Murdoch is going to appear in The Fall of the House of Murdoch, and it's his first television interview since the trial came to an end earlier this year. Also appearing in this Fox Nation docuseries will be members of Murdoch's defense team, which I assume would be Richard Harpootlian, one of his lead attorneys. Also, they're going to talk to the lead prosecutor, Creighton Waters, who works for the Attorney General of South Carolina, Alan Wilson, and both Waters and Wilson will be in this docuseries. Then they're going to talk to Roger Dale Davis Jr., the dog kennel manager out at the hunting lodge that they had where this whole crime happened, Moselle. That's what they called it. And then that's in the Moselle community of Colleton County. But many people captivated by this trial. And it was fascinating. I mean, how could this man, Alec Murdoch, with so much influence and power, pull off this awful crime, killing his son and his wife? But he was convicted. He was absolutely convicted. And most people would say this was not a hard case to figure out. Not rocket science. This was not extreme cases of case law to try to convict this guy. He was a bad dude. And guess what? He's going to be in jail for the rest of his life. If he's even going to make it, he's going to is South Carolina, which does have the death penalty. If that doesn't get him first, he'll die in jail. Some more positive news. Let's take it to Atlanta. Tom Cruise surprised a crowd this week at a movie theater in Atlanta. It was an early screening of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. And Atlanta moviegoers at Regal Atlantic Station got a surprise when Tom Cruise walked through the theater. He shook hands, took photos. He said he doesn't care how much money he makes from the movie. He just hopes that audiences enjoy it. The film director, Christopher McQuarrie, also in Atlanta for this appearance. So, good job. In fact, there's a photo put out on social media from the account Regal Movies. And they had a tweet put out that said, "We just had an exciting flyby for the opening of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning tonight with Tom Cruise and director Chris McQuarrie at our Atlantic Station Theater to surprise fans." And there's a really cool selfie of Tom Cruise and this director in this theater in Atlanta, and you see the whole in the background, the whole movie theater smiling and taking a picture. Pretty neat. Might be the first selfie with a whole studio, or theater in this case, of people smiling big. Tom Cruise in Atlanta this week. Man, I know he's kind of a weirdo. I know that. But boy, he's had some great movies. And it's been going on a long time, his career. And we congratulate him. And the fact that he's still making movies. Tom Cruise at 61 years old, a damn Yankee, born in Syracuse, New York in 1962. His parents actually were both from Louisville, Kentucky. I did not know that. No wonder he might have a little bit of normalcy to him. But he spent part of his childhood in Canada. I didn't know that. His dad actually took a job working as a consultant with the Canadian Armed Forces and lived in Ottawa for a while. And then Cruise got a scholarship to a St. Francis Seminary in Cincinnati. I didn't know that. I need to dig a little bit more into Tom Cruise. Born Thomas Cruise Mapother, M-A-P-O-T-H-E-R, the fourth. I didn't know that was his middle name, Tom Cruise. But in Atlanta this week, the multi-talented actor and action thriller actor that he is. Hope you had a good time, Tom. Maybe you were able to scoot over to the Varsity while you were in the ATL and had a good, what do you have? I guess that's, isn't that what they say there? What do you have? What do you have? Yeah, that's the place where they kind of are smart to you when you're ordering. But it's their tradition. And you know what? In the South, we love our traditions. We also love our country music. When we come back on the Y'all Show, we're going to try to dig up the brand new song from legendary country music supergroup Diamond Rio. Yeah, they had a bunch of hits back in the 90s and into the 2000s. And looks like there's some news coming from the Diamond Rio camp that we will be sharing with you. And their new song, The Kick. We'll let you hear it, evaluate it. We'll tell you that, plus some Trace Adkins news that we'll pass along. And information on another Louisiana singer. In addition to Trace Adkins, we'll tell you about... she's not really a singer as much as she is a booty mover. Britney Spears, Britney the Booty Mover, is going to be part of our country music news only because she's got a new book coming out in October. Okay, I'm going to have to clear my head after talking about this. We'll have all that. It's our Nashville Music Line Report, and it is coming up next here on the show that shakes the Southland, kind of like Britney shakes her, well, you know what. We want to hear you here at Super Talk 93.1 on shows like The Y'all Show, The Patriot Pastor, and The Frankie Lack Show. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Super Talk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Super Talk 93.1 text line. Mighty sound, mighty good sound coming out of Diamond Rio. That is their new song called The Kick. And it's an instrumental. Hey, I didn't realize that. Welcome back. It is the Y'all Show where we accentuate all things Southern. And how about that? Diamond Rio here in 2023, some 20, 30 years after they debuted on the country music chart with a song called The Kick. We're back on the Y'all Show. And Diamond Rio, with this song out, also has an addition to their lineup, and it's a great-looking addition. After 33 years together, Brian Prout and Gene Johnson have retired as members of the country music hit band Diamond Rio. They've had songs like Meet in the Middle and Just a Beautiful Kiss. I played a song earlier in the show that came from them. They had a whole bunch of big songs in the 1990s. But two members of the group, Brian Prout and Gene Johnson, retiring. And so what they've done is they've added two new members, Carson McKee and Micah Swisberg on drums. Now, Carson McKee, when you see the new music video for The Kick, is a beautiful woman. How about Diamond Rio now with six members, and one of them is a beautiful blonde, killing it on the fiddle, and she brings harmony vocals as well. They have just released this new instrumental called The Kick. Marty Rowe, the band's lead singer and has been since they got started on Arista Records, talks about the new members, saying that Micah, the drummer, is an unbelievable musician. And then as far as McKee, Rowe admitted she wasn't who the band was in search of when the member started looking for a backfill for the retiring member, but said the group was looking for somebody else, but that person didn't exist. So they bring on McKee, and boy, is she a good fiddle player. Diamond Rio has sold more than 6.8 million records in their career, and they've had more than a billion global streams. Pretty impressive for this band that debuted with Meat in the Middle, and went on to have big hits like How Your Love Makes Me Feel, One More Day, Unbelievable, Beautiful Mess, so many more. Did I say Mirror, Mirror? I don't think I said that one. That one's in there, and That's What I Get for Loving You was one of my favorite Diamond Rio songs. I'm sure you've got a favorite. 30 years strong plus now for Diamond Rio, and they're not hanging it up. They got these two new members on drums, Micah Swisberg, and then that beautiful, and Micah, you're a pretty guy. I don't want to discount your looks here as I'm bragging on Carson McKee, but boy, Carson, she's a beautiful fiddle player, and I mean beautiful from a musical standpoint and other standpoints too. congratulations. Diamond Rio. All right, let's move over and give you some more country music news here in this country music report that we've got coming your way on this Thursday, y'all show. Trace Atkins, he's left Middle Tennessee and headed over to Mayfield, Kentucky. That's in western Kentucky, not all that far from where you'll find Paducah. Mayfield, Kentucky, home of one David Thomas. And Trace Atkins went there to film a new music video for his song Somewhere in America. It was a song written by John Knight, Hunter Phelps, Michael Hardy, and Zach Crowell. A song produced by Mickey Jack Cones and Derek George. And it is a song that pays homage to the big-hearted country folks who live between America's coasts. Now, Mayfield, Kentucky, you might remember, in 2022 got devastated by an EF4 tornado that came through that town's downtown portion, and it ended up killing more than 50 people. Remember, that's the factory there that made candles, I think, and it hit that factory. And so many people lost their lives when that tornado passed through Mayfield, Kentucky. And now there's a monument there, and in this video, Somewhere in America, Trace is shown standing in front of the monument in downtown Mayfield. The video, which has concert footage packaged inside it, has Atkins actually standing. This is not a permanent memorial, evidently, in Mayfield. It's a makeshift memorial. It's on the spot where the Mayfield courthouse used to stand. And Trace, in a statement, said, reading the names of those who lost their lives was moving. Somewhere in America is about the heart and the heart left in this land, and the citizens of Mayfield exemplify that. Very well said. Trace added, I hope everyone will see a glimpse of the goodness of the citizens of Mayfield. They are good people who are clawing their way back from a catastrophic disaster. Somewhere in America, filmed in Mayfield, Kentucky, and it's out this week. If you get a chance to find it on one of your favorite music video channels, do that. Trace has it posted on his official social media accounts. And a good guy, Trace Atkins, a tough guy. Remember, before he got a record deal, I think he got shot twice while he was trying to make it. And he made it, just like Tracy Lawrence. Tracy Lawrence and Trace Atkins both were shot prior to making it big in country music. They might have even been stabbed at some point. I hope not. But way to go, Trace Atkins. Glad to see you're in Mayfield. And I apologize. Recently on the show, I mentioned a town in western Kentucky. I had Mayfield on my mind, but I actually said Murray when I was talking about that tornado damage. Those two towns are only about 20 to 30 miles apart from each other. I'm sure I'm not the first person to confuse those two Kentucky towns. But I should know better. I absolutely should know better. And I've been to both of those towns, so lesson learned. But keep on trucking, Mayfield. We're pulling for you. And you can lift your head high up, Mayfield, with this new Trace Atkins video. The pride of Sarepta, Louisiana, heading over to Kentucky to make this music video. Let's tell you about the pride of Tangipahoa Parish in Louisiana. That would be Britney Spears. And I know she's not a country girl, at least in her singing style, but she is a country girl. I mean, she's a borderline white trash girl, if you want to know the truth. Okay, maybe she's just plain white trash. I don't know. But Britney, don't talk bad about me. Don't put me down in your book. She's got a new book coming out in October called The Woman in Me, Britney Spears, the author. It's going to come out October 24th. The memoir is being billed as a brave and astonishingly moving story about freedom, fame, motherhood, survival, faith, and hope. I wonder if Britney wrote that. Now, this book comes out after her 2021 court hearing, where Britney asked a L.A. Superior Court judge to end her 13-year court-ordered conservatorship that she had with her baby daddy. And that, I guess, got settled. And Spears testified back in 2021 that she felt her conservatorship was abusive and pleaded for it to end. I guess this was with her dad, now that I think about it. I try to dodge most Britney Spears-related stories. I apologize. But this obviously took a toll on her. And she went through, she said, 13 years of toughness with that conservatorship. And she's putting it down on paper now. What's her dad's name? Jamie Spears, and her sister's Jamie Lynn. Britney this week sharing a post on Instagram announcing the release date of the book, with text appearing in a video that read, "It's coming, my stories on terms at last." My story on my terms at last. Hit me one more time with that, Britney. And I don't claim to be the world's biggest Britney Spears expert, but as far as I know, I don't think she's got a book that she's helped write before. So good job. I bet you this thing will do quite well for her. I bet you she's going to have a comeback of sorts. And I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm actually surprised Britney Spears hasn't already come to Nashville and recorded something, kind of a country music type thing. I bet you if a fellow Louisiana singer, let's say a Lainey Wilson, ever reached out to Britney and said, "Hey, how would you like to come join me on a pretty cool song? It might even be about Louisiana." I bet she'd be tempted to go and give it a spin. I think country music fans would probably welcome her. Just at 40-something years old now, Britney, you might want to not get up there and strut around like you've done before. But, hey, that strutting made her famous. It made her famous. I'll never forget, 23 years ago or so, was about right when Britney Spears was about as big as you could get. We could actually go through the listing of starlets, all of which have a Southern connection, over the last 25 to 30 years. Those, I guess it would be three of them, those Southern women who were the biggest thing going for about 10 years. And they kind of had the youth movement. The kiddos were really behind them. And there may have been somebody before Britney, but we'll at least for the millennium, we'll start with her. So Britney started the torch. The kiddos and fans, she could pack concerts everywhere. She was and still is a big draw. Britney Spears was the queen until all of the craziness with her was going on. And then she got bumped out of maybe the top spot by Miley Cyrus. Here comes Miley Cyrus for 5-10 years, and little girls and kids would go see her, and people would spend ungodly amounts of money to see Miley Cyrus. Then fame got the best of her, and she kind of started acting like a wacko, and she got older and started getting all the crazy tattoos and doing crazy things, and so she had to go away. And so, and I could be missing somebody here, but we all know who the third of the triumvirate of the 21st century would be stepping up onto that platform of Southern woman heroine. And the final part of this, the third of the three ladies that I'm telling you about, is kind of a Yankee. But she did go to high school in Hendersonville, Tennessee. So the last one, and she still currently has the baton, even though she's kind of getting old. She's up, 30-something years old now? Taylor Swift. So we went Britney to Miley to Taylor, of that position of just superstar, especially for the little girls and the young people, but could still draw the old folks too. It's okay if you're an old person and you're a Swiftie. I actually spent probably 30 minutes the other day watching YouTube videos of Taylor Swift's pop songs. I'm very familiar with her country songs, but I really hadn't paid much attention to her latest music over the last couple of years. I feel like Taylor Swift's kind of a traitor. She left Nashville. She went to the bright lights of L.A. She abandoned country music. I'm not a fan of her now. But she does have some cool songs. That Bejeweled song is pretty freaking creative. And she's just so talented. Even if she's a dang Pennsylvania Yankee, Taylor Swift. And Taylor, get back here. no reason for you to be living out there. You need to get back. Don't you have a place like a high-rise perch over Nashville, over around Vanderbilt? Come back here. She also is a single lady, I think, again. So, Taylor, if you're listening, mail@y'all.com is how you can get in touch with me. I'll show you. We'll go up to Love Circle right down the street from where your house is. In fact, John Rich lives right there. We'll go by and see him. Maybe y'all can write a song. Even if you're a Yankee, I guess I could take one for the South here if Taylor Swift dropped me an email. What am I talking about? I guess when you start talking about Britney Spears, you just kind of go off the rails, and that's what we've just done here. But that is a quick look at some of our Southern country music entertainment focus here with a little Britney Spears thrown in for good measure. Oh, Lordy. Kentwood, Louisiana, y'all. We'll come right back here and wrap up this second hour of the Y'all Show. We're going to give you a quick look at some Southern sports news before we move over to our third hour. And we got Louisiana on our mind today. We actually have, in addition to talking about Britney and Lainey Wilson and Trace Atkins, I'm trying to get Daryl Hicks to join us in our final hour, the Cajun cooker himself. I'm going to try to get him right here in the Y'all studio, so stay tuned for that.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low. And you can tell your friend there with you he'll have to go. Whisper to me, tell me, do you love me true? Or is he holding you the way I do? Though love is blind, make up your mind, I've got to know. Should I hang up, or will you tell him he'll have to go?
Jim Reeves, my fellow JR, with some great music of yesteryear right here on the Y'all Show. That good old Nashville sound is what they call that. And we're proud to showcase that right here on the show that's all about the South. We are Y'all Talk with an Accent on the South. This is our Southern Sports Report for Hour 2 to kind of wrap up this hour. And let's talk about college football. The Big 12 getting ready for its season. And this year, Texas and Oklahoma will have their swan song in the Big 12. The head coach of the Longhorns, which went 8-5 in 2022, 6-3 in conference play, they've been selected by the pundits in a preseason media poll to finish first in the Big 12 in 2023. The Texas Longhorns, and they were part of the Big 12 Media Days that was held on Wednesday out in Arlington, Texas. And the Longhorns, again, that overwhelming favorite, the coach, Coach Sark, said he hopes a league title will be a great send-off for Texas's final season in the Big 12. That will rattle some feathers. That will not make those, especially members of the Big 12, that have been, like, let's say Oklahoma State, been there since that conference got going back in the mid-90s and have not yet, they've still not won a Big 12 title, Oklahoma State. and Texas, which has actually not won a Big 12 title since 2009. That's the longest drought in school history of not winning in a conference title. They joined a conference back in 1915, and since that time, they've won a conference title at least once every 13 years, and they haven't done it there on the 40 acres since 2009. The ESPN Football Power Index gives the Horns a 54% chance to win the Big 12. And remember, one of the reasons Texas is even being considered as a conference champion is how horrible Oklahoma is. OU, which is SEC bound as well after this season, had the worst season I can ever remember them having in 2022 with their new coach Venables coming over from Clemson. But the Big 12 Media Days underway in the Metroplex. How about that? College football is back. SEC Media Days set for next week right in downtown Nashville. But Texas, the favorite, and Sark, head coach of the Burnt Orange, hopes that this year will be a great send-off for Texas as they head over to the SEC at the conclusion of the season. Some NBA news. Ja Morant's lawyers are now citing self-defense in his basketball lawsuit. Ja Morant is accused of assaulting a teenager during a pickup basketball game. And a judge on Wednesday ruled that Morant's lawyers can proceed for now with their argument that the NBA star was acting in self-defense when he punched Joshua Holloway during a game at the All-Star Players' home last summer, a year ago this month. Ja Morant is alleged to have punched this teenager in a pick. What's Ja Morant doing playing a pickup basketball game with a teenager? That guy's had some extremely stupid decisions, in my opinion. He needs a full-time mama with him at all times to keep him out of the headlines. But according to this verdict, if you will, that came out Wednesday, the circuit court judge in Memphis, Carol Chumney, said the next step would be to hear from lawyers in the case, including those representing the Tennessee Attorney General, about whether the law can be applied to the case under the state constitution. The victim here was 17 when the lawsuit was filed, and it accuses Ja Morant and his friend, Devontae Pack, of assault, reckless endangerment, abuse, or neglect, and infliction of emotional distress. The youngster is now 18 years old. Morant has filed a countersuit accusing Holloway of slander, battery, and assault. No criminal charges have been filed against the NBA star Ja Morant. But another off-the-court problem for Memphis Grizzlies NBA star Ja Morant. Again, Wednesday, citing self-defense as part of his alleged punch of this youngster last year. Another NBA item to pass along before we get out of here this hour. The Board of Governors of the NBA approved two rule changes that will go into effect in the 23-24 season. A second coach's challenge if the first one is successful, and an in-game flopping penalty. I still don't understand the whole flopping thing in basketball. Maybe somebody wants to give me a tutorial sometime. Maybe because I wasn't a very good basketball player, I never flopped. The only flopping I did was I would be flopping when I hit bricks. Both rule changes had been unanimously recommended to the Board of Governors by the league's competition committee. Some upcoming changes for the NBA in 2023. Anything to help out, make it a little less goofy, in my opinion. And what I mean by that, so many NBA games literally come down to the final shot. I'd like to see a little bit more of a blowout happen on a regular basis, because that's the way life is. We have blowouts in life. We don't always have it where it's the literally last shot every single time. I know that might make for great TV, but it's just not real. What is real is Wimbledon. They're wrapping things up here this weekend on the grass at the Old English Club, I think it's what it's called, outside of London. The men's singles, the semifinal set, Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic are set for a semifinal matchup. The other semifinals on the men's side features Carlos Alcaraz and Russian Daniil Medvedev. The women's singles, they're underway on this Thursday. And on the women's side of Wimbledon, as they battle to try to get to Saturday's championship round, a Ukrainian, Elena Svitolina, is taking a match on this Thursday, bright and early. Markita Vondrousova is going to be her opponent. And then on the other side of the women's bracket, Ons Jabeur and Anya Sablinka. Those are your contestants in the semifinals of Wimbledon taking place this weekend. That will wrap up our second hour of Y'all Stay Tuned. Hour three, we got Daryl Hicks, hopefully going to stop by. We'll have that and all the other news of the show that shakes the Southland. We are Y'all, and again, you can email us anytime that you're able to. mail@y'all.com. We're powered by the South's homepage. Thank you, and we will be right back, y'all, to the show all about Dixie. And the Y'all Show back on for a final hour on this Thursday. Hope y'all are doing well. John Rawl, the general of all things Southern. Good to be back here in the air chair for this taking you home, if you will. If that's where you're heading to today, or maybe you're just going into the office. Whatever the case may be, thank you. It's always fun to be here talking with you. If you'd like to connect with us here on the Y'all Show, our email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at y'all.com. We've got a special guest lined up and coming to you in the next segment, and he's going to stick around for the rest of this final hour. The Cajun cooker himself, Daryl Hicks, will be here to help us talk about what's going on in his world. And as we wrap up this hour, he's going to help us walk through the list of festivals in the 16 southern states that are happening this weekend. All that right here in this final hour of the Y'all Show. Let's jump into a few headlines before we bring the Cajun cooker himself on. And in Birmingham, Alabama, this is a scary story. Coming out of the Birmingham Fire Department, as two firefighters with the Birmingham Fire Department have been allegedly targeted, and they've been shot at the Norwood Fire Station. Shot Wednesday morning. In the Norwood community of Birmingham, the fire chief of Birmingham, Corey Moon, said that both firefighters taken to a hospital and they're looking for a suspect driving a silver car. The shooting happened just before 8:30 on Wednesday at Station 9, and Birmingham police and fire called to the station, which is located on 27th Street North in Birmingham, where the firefighters had reportedly both been shot in the chest and legs. Again, a shooting at a fire station in Birmingham, and according to officials there, it looks like it was a targeted event. The mayor of Birmingham, Randall Woodfin, releasing a statement Wednesday, "Our hearts are extremely heavy in the wake of the shooting of two Birmingham firefighters this morning. These are dedicated servants of our community. Now we must return the favor of service by providing them and their families the comfort, care, and support they need. I also ask that you join me in lifting up the entire Birmingham Fire and Rescue team as they rally around their comrades during this very difficult time. If you have any information to help detectives discover who did this evidently targeted shooting on a fire station, for God's sakes, in Birmingham, you can call Crime Stoppers in that area, 205-254-7777, 205-254-7777. And as we wrap up our headlines of the news happenings of the day, a political story of sorts, as we've had a switch of parties within the Georgia State Legislature, as this woman has now switched to a Republican from being a Democrat. Representative Misha Maynor has switched parties, becoming the only black member of Georgia's GOP And Georgia's got 236 state lawmakers, and now she's the first black member of that. That's not very good odds, Georgia. Is that saying something bad about the GOP? Or is that a bad statement on black folks that they don't want to be Republicans? Remember Hank, what was Hank's? He became a candidate, Republican candidate. He was a Hank Johnson, maybe. He was a guy who was in Georgia's state legislature, and he decided to kind of switch parties or something. He supported Trump, got a lot of attention, and now he's kind of disappeared. He got a lot of love on Fox there for a while. But Representative Maynard, who represents the north side of Atlanta, I think portions kind of in Cobb County and certainly North Fulton County is where her district is. She represents District 56, and she ended up being elected with like 65% of the vote. So she's not switching parties because it's a convenient thing to do to be elected. No, she's doing quite well in what's normally a ultra-democratic swath of Atlanta, including Midtown is where her district is. And now she becomes a Republican, as she said in a statement, "I thought it was okay to not agree with the things as a Democrat, but they told me, you know what, these are the values we just don't have. Those are the values we just don't have," she said in a statement. But switching parties, the first black member of the GOP now in Georgia, and as a result of her switch, Republicans in Georgia's state legislature enjoy a 102-78 edge in the Georgia House. And Georgia, of course, has a Republican-dominated Senate and a governor in Brian Kemp and a lieutenant governor and a fellow that used to help host a show for me. How about Burt Jones going from former Georgia Bulldog back up to Dog Dial co-host with John Rawl helping out with that? And now he's your lieutenant governor of Georgia, right out of Butts County, Georgia, is where he's from. Congratulations. He's a brand new lieutenant governor, by the way, in the state of Georgia. And that will wrap up our news headlines here, an abbreviated news headlines, because we got Daryl Hicks over here in the wings that we don't want to make him wait any longer than he has to, because when Daryl drops by, boy, is it fun. So we will have that conversation with that Cajun cooker. And that conversation is coming up next on the show that shakes the Southland. We are y'all again. Drop us an email at your leisure. Mail@yall.com is the way you can reach us. If you want to ask Daryl about maybe a recipe or something else on your mind, would love to share that with him. All that fun coming up as we wrap up this Thursday edition. And we're going to go down to the bayou now. Welcome back. It is the Y'all Show, where we accentuate all things Southern. And our guest now is pretty darn Southern, and he knows a thing or two about bayous and more. Daryl Hicks joining us once again here on the Y'all Show. And good to see you again, Daryl.
Good to be here.
Congratulations. Last time you were here, LSU was about to play for a semifinal at that time, and then they won that, went on and won a baseball national championship.
Well, you know, it was great if you're an LSU fan, because, you know, after they lost the one and got the living stars beat out of them, everybody was kind of down a little bit. But I told my wife to keep the faith, and you know, the star pitcher didn't pitch that night, and he was due to pitch the next night. But you know, when they beat Florida the next night without him, I think that kind of sealed the whole deal for them. Everybody was pretty happy about that.
LSU recently picking up their 7th national championship in college baseball. Congratulations to all the Bayou Bengal fans out there. Well, it is smack dab in the middle of summertime. And have you been out gardening these days?
A little bit. Been out in my buddy's garden. In fact,
garden? You don't have your garden?
He has a big garden out in the country.
Okay.
And he raises tomatoes. And one of his hobbies is he takes those tomatoes and puts up fresh tomato pulp, like, you know, to cook with, mm-hmm. and also fresh tomato juice. And, oh, I love that fresh tomato juice. I'm telling you, it is wonderful. So we kind of help him do that just a little bit. But one of our friends that we took the other day to the garden out in the country, and we hauled him up to the garden in a side-by-side. His name is Mike. He comes from Chicago, just a super guy. In fact, he's been helping me up at the restaurant today. And he never had an opportunity to ride in a side-by-side in his life, and certainly he never got the opportunity to pick any red tomatoes in a garden in his life. First time he had ever been in a garden.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, Mike, next year you and Cheryl will put you in a garden behind your house. And he said, well, it'd be fun, but I wouldn't know where to plant which way. I said, we can tell you how to do that. That won't be no problem. But he really enjoyed it out there until he saw this stuffed bobcat, and he froze. And of course, when you're from Chicago, you've never been around anything like that. You know, it'd make a lot of people freeze. And first thing he said, is it real?
So why do you have a stuffed bobcat in
Keep
the garden?
Keep other varmints out.
And it works?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It works. It'll keep a lot of deer out and coyotes out. Yeah, yeah. Deer and coyotes don't like bobcats.
So in the South, in your parts of the South, do you see a lot of bobcats?
Quite a few bobcats down here. Quite a few, but there are a lot more coyotes. Coyotes is a big nuisance, you know, in our part of the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Of course, Louisiana got neutral, but up here is a lot of coyotes.
Yeah, I saw somebody with a plastic owl the other day at their business.
Yeah,
does that help out?
That's right. Sure does. And people will go to beauty shops, and they'll get a human hair and put it all around the garden and stuff like that.
Does that help?
Yeah, yeah, it does. It really does. You know, everybody's got their own little remedy, you know.
Well, I want the one that works if I'm going to have a garden, because I'd be darned if I'm going to sit there and put a lot of money and time into something,
right,
and a dang white-tailed deer comes in there and attacks it.
And won't be nothing left. Yeah. Or you can have a beautiful garden and be gone for a couple of days and come back. You've had an invasion like we're having an invasion across the border of migrants. You can have an invasion of the army worms. It won't be nothing but a stem left. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before in our gardens at home. Nothing but stem left. The army worm by the millions. Yeah.
Well, I hate to, and you know a thing or two about history. We've got some bad things here in the South, and a lot of them you can trace to either the Rio Grande, crossing the Rio Grande, or Japan. And what I'm talking about is we've got examples of things that have come across the Rio Grande that have been bad for America and bad for the South. Fire ants.
Let me tell you
something. They've made their way from the West.
They have destroyed 75% of the Catawba worm population in the United States. Now, a lot of people don't know what Catawba worms are, but Catawba worms is one of the favorite fishing of, I would say, poor people in middle class fishing with poles in the whole South, because a bass, a crappie, a sackalay, a brim. That's what they call them in Louisiana, the crappie, or a goggle eye. They cannot turn down a fresh Catawba worm. They just cannot turn it down. And the fire ants got into the moss section. They got into the, you know, to the leaves. It got into the population of the Catawba worms. And, you know, I know civilization changes, but that's one thing that I think fire ants has really been a detriment to, is the Catawba worm population.
I'm trying to figure out how to spell Catawba.
C-A-T is all I know.
Because there's Catawba, which is an Indian
Catawba,
tribe. Over,
yeah, it
and
is.
There's Catawba trees.
That's right. Let me tell you about a Catawba tree now.
Is it the same word?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You can take a Catawba tree, and you can cut it up. It'll take about three chains to cut it up because it's so hard, and you could put it for a corner post like we did in the country when we fenced the land in, and there's corner posts with Catawba in it, Catawba post when I was in high school, and they're still standing. That's just how sturdy they are. That in Bordock.
And I know in a large part of the South, there are very few, but they are out there, Catawba trees.
Yes.
And they really stand out.
Yes, sir. My friend had one in Hernando the other day when I went down to the 4th. And it's the first time I've heard this in 3 or 4 years. He had a big Catawba tree down there next to his lake, and they had picked 700 Catawba worms off of it this year. The first time in 4 years. Now, see, that's a nature thing. That's something that biologists can't explain it.
Yeah.
They can't explain it. But they've picked beautiful big Catawba worms off of it, 700. And what you do, you get about 25, get you a little plastic bucket,
mm-hmm.
and put you some cornmeal in there and put them in that cornmeal real good and put them in the freezer. And when you take them out, they just like new. And, boy, they'll catch fish when nothing else, they will bite.
All right. Catawba worms. Yep. Darryl Hicks, our special guest here on the Y'all Show, Thursday edition, learning all kinds of things with this young man. And I was going back to my conversation of bad things coming across the border from Mexico. So we got fire ants on our bad list. How about coyotes?
Oh,
they also have come across
right.
and made their way
that's
from
right.
the west
that's
to the
right.
east.
And coyotes are a problem in a lot of places. They're a problem everywhere. They're a problem to wildlife. They destroy turkeys. They've cleaned out, you know, the dove fields and you know, some places, in a lot of places, they've cleaned out the quail fields. You know, they're carnivorous, and they really are. There's too many of them. That's all there is to it. There's too many of them. But, you know, you bring an important point up. I talked to a guy one time last year during duck season, and his daughter worked at a secret Navy, I don't know if you call it a base or Navy, whatever you'd call it, location in Peru, okay? And they're studying things that migrants are bringing over to the United States disease-wise. And he told me some of this stuff. They've never seen it, never heard of it, but they're bringing it over here right now. They're actually studying that at this kind of secret Navy base in Peru.
Golly, that's fascinating.
His daughter worked there.
Yeah.
She had a microbiology degree from, I don't know, 14 degrees from 14 different places, and that's where she ended up. She's in the Navy, and that's where she's at. And, you know, and so when you talk about people and things coming across the border, you know, it's very detrimental in a lot of ways because I want to say I would guess half of them are never seen or never heard of to get across here, no telling where to go or what to do.
Yep. Another item we can add to that list of things that have come from the west to the east here in the southeast, coming in from Mexico primarily, armadillos.
Armadillos. And I talked to a guy this last week, armadillos was eating his yard up. And when you shoot one, they'll jump 3 foot high. If you shoot one, he'll jump 3 foot high.
Never shot one.
Or if you get one in a hole, you better have some strong arms and strong footage because you can't hardly pull him out backwards. Oh, there was an armadillo. I grew up with armadillos all around our house, Louisiana, all the time. Now, way down in West Texas, next to Mexico, they actually cook them in the shell. Of course, the Mexicans eat anything. It don't matter. You know,
okay.
They do. They cook anything. And some Louisiana people do. They cook Nutra.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's another thing. But that I'm not born. You know how Nutra got here, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do.
Tell us the story of how
no,
Nutra.
I don't know.
One of your fellow Louisiana people had something to do with that.
He fell off a boat.
No, supposedly McElhaney, the McElhaney family. He had.
It was his boat.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was his boat. Come off of that boat.
Okay.
And boy, they got busy multiplying. It's kind of like in Barbados. I went to Barbados on this trip to see this big cane field. And I'm looking down through there, and I said, what in the world is all them little animals running through there? So I got to the interpreter kind of, you know, and I asked him, I said, what's all those animals in this cane field? Beautiful cane field, you know. And he said, oh, he said, that's mongoose. I said, mongoose? He said, yeah. He said, years ago we had cobra snake problem, and we imported mongoose. He said, now we got no cobra snake, but we got way too many mongoose. Isn't that something? That's just how Mother Nature can just swap stuff, and one day you got one thing, next day you got something else.
I still think I'd take a mongoose over a
cobra. Oh, in
cobra.
New York instant. New York instant. You want to see a fun fight? Get on the internet and watch mongoose versus Gaboon viper.
Ooh.
And the Gaboon viper is not but about a 4 foot long snake, but he's real big around and very, very strong. Very strong. Has a big wide head and delivers an enormous amount of venom when he bites something. And so they put a mongoose in there in a big cage with him and let him wear the snake down. The snake keeps striking at him, and he can't catch the mongoose. And when he wears down to a certain point, then and only then will the handlers reach in there and catch him and milk him. You didn't know I knew that kind of stuff.
No, right? You're a pretty smart guy.
No, I ain't smart.
Or either you're full of it.
Ain't smart. If you pull that up on the internet, watch that.
I'm gonna pull it up.
And watch mongoose versus cobra. That's a hoot now.
But I'm going to have somebody close by because I don't think I could go to sleep tonight if I'm watching something about a mongoose and a cobra going at it.
But, I always dreamed when I was going overseas a lot in the Caribbeans and places like that, over Brazil and all these places flying over, if the plane went down and being around cobras, that's a snake I've never liked. I've just never liked cobra. Now, I've been around moccasins, copperheaded, rattleheaded moccasins all my life, you know, and alligators and you know, copperheads. And,
what about coral snakes?
Coral snakes in Winfield, Louisiana, in the Piney Wood Timber.
I figured you'd run across.
But they
got
to bite you somewhere like underneath the arm here or between the fingers here because they chew when they bite.
Oh, really?
But they'll hurt you bad. You know, red on yellow kills a feller. If you see one, red on yellow kills a feller. Red on black, the poison is lack.
I've heard something like that, but not
that's
quite
right. That's
that
the way.
It way
is. From and they call that a scarlet king snake.
The Mr. Cajun himself, Daryl Hicks, here with us on the Thursday Y'all Show. Mail at y'all.com if you've got something you want to ask. Daryl would love to pass it along because he certainly qualifies as a pretty southern guy here on the Y'all Show. And as far as I was talking about invasive species coming over from Mexico to this part of the world, I think I've about covered it all. Now, we got a problem with two-legged invasive species too going on.
Yeah, it's sad. It's an invasion. It's just pure an invasion. Anybody don't think it's an invasion, they don't need a driver's license.
Yeah, and I just saw, I think, in Franklin, Tennessee this week, there was a soccer coach who got caught not only molesting and raping little boys on his soccer team, but he would drug them, and then he would film them. And guess what? He was an illegal immigrant. Yeah.
Well, see, you can handle that real easy, real easy. You take him to Memphis, and where the tall, big Mississippi River Bridge is, you get him up there on top of it, and you say a little prayer from him, and you get him in that water then, let him go on and see Jesus.
I'm not sure that we need to waste our time taking him all the way to Memphis. So over there in Franklin, they got the Harpeth River. I believe the Harpeth would probably.
That'll work for me. Yeah, that'll work for me.
That one's got some stones in the middle of it. Maybe his head will hit the top of the stone or something.
I'm all for that. Yeah. It's kind of like, and it didn't get to this, when the Antifa group came in from California down to Evangeline Parish.
When?
Evangeline Parish this last year. And where they all talk like, remember when there was a time they were taking all the statues down?
Oh, yeah. That's still going on.
Oh, yeah. So Antifa came to Evangeline Parish. I don't know, 15 or 20 of them. And they were going to take down John Lafitte. The big statue, been there a long time. I've been by him two or three times.
Wasn't he a pirate?
Yeah. But, you know, he never reached out and grabbed me or anything like that. You know, I've been by the statues in Memphis they took down. They never reached out and grabbed me or anything. Never told me, called me a dirty name or nothing, you know. So here come the Antifa bunch from California and Washington, Oregon. I don't know what, but about 25, 30 of them, I don't think they say. And they showed up down at John Lafitte at the statue. And, you know, there was in a little square-like thing. There was a street there, you know. And those boys from that part of the country said, now, boys, they said, here's the way they're going to do this today. He said, you see that street right there? He said, you come across that street, you're going to walk across that street. He said, but when you go back across that street, he said, you're going to be in a pine box. He said, now you make the decision. And guess what they did? They decided they'd go on back to California, Oregon there, and John Lafitte's still there. Nobody's bothered him.
Now, what parish is that? Well, I mean, what you told me the parish, but what's the city?
Parish.
What town is that?
Huh?
What town are we talking about?
Evangeline,
Louisiana, and that's Cajun country?
Oh, is it? They all talk like this.
Well, you kind of talk like
No.
But you're not
I was
a full
raised, let me tell you.
I know where
raised,
you're from. You're north of Alexandria.
No, south of Alexandria. You go left, you go to Jonesville. I mean, redneck city of the world.
They've got some competition there.
Oh, boy. Then you go right, you cross what we call the Red River, Moklot Bridge. And as soon as you cross that bridge, the first one on your left, pure Cajun. That's how close I was.
Really?
Yep. Nobody at school was Cajun. It was all pretty, you know, pretty redneck in my school, my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Cajun, you know, folks are all south of the Red River.
So how many miles are we talking about?
11.
11 miles separate.
Yeah, you could hear them partying every now and then.
Well, we're glad. That's why Louisiana is a special place. It has a really unique history in this part of the world.
We used to play a basketball team down there from Pitkin, Louisiana. And, you know, I've been gone a long time, and I still remember that coach's name. His name was O.D. West, and he was about 6'2" tall and weighed about 300 pounds and could probably pick a car up. But the people in Pitkin and in Westview, the school down there, they always called it, they were known as the knife people. And let me tell you something. You didn't mess with them. You know, they won three straight state championship basketball games. Yeah, sure do it. Class B. And they were, wasn't very big, but, buddy, let me tell you something. They were tough. Plainview High School in Plainview, Louisiana.
In Cajun country.
With them. In Cajun, you didn't mess with them.
What parish?
Huh?
What parish is that?
I don't remember what parish that's in. It's south of Rapides Parish.
Okay.
And they always, it's south in it, but for some reason or another, we had a three or four parish tournament in basketball. In my senior year, we had to play them in the parish championship. And, boy, the principal, the deputy sheriff, and everybody came into the dressing room and said, look here now, boys. Hey, play hard, play fair, and when this is over with, get yourself on the bench over there on your side and don't be doing any jupa-dupas.
Jupa-dupas.
We didn't. We beat them. We beat
really?
Them. But, boy, let me tell you something. We went back on the bench and sat down when it was over with for the presentation. But that coach, O.D. West, he came over to me and shook my hand, and I won't forget it. That's why I still remember his name. He said, young man, he said, you got a ways to go in basketball. He said, you're doing good. He said, don't quit. He said, y'all have a great team. And he said, you did a great job in that ball game tonight. You know, not many visiting coaches will do that.
That's pretty neat. Now, yeah. Daryl, if you haven't seen him, you measure in at how tall?
Well, then I was 6'4 and weighed 225.
There probably weren't a lot of 6'4, 225 guys around.
No,
You really
Charles
stood out.
Charles Seville, I played against him in the state tournament. He was 6'11.
Holy Toledo.
But I hurt his ribs.
You did?
I hurt his ribs real bad.
I guess he got out of the game because of that?
He stayed about two third quarters after that. He was having trouble breathing, so he quit.
Of course, Daryl played some football, too, and football,
that
basketball.
That adds a little bit to it. That adds a little bit to it, yeah.
Now, speaking of home and such, before we get out of here with you today,
okay.
We were talking before you came home here about your dad and a fun story. If you don't mind, share that with us.
Dad, we had three gardens when I grew up. I had a little old Cub C tractor, and I can hear him right now. I said, left, right. I'd start looking around, you know, forget where I'd go and trying to stay in the middle of the row, you know, and he had a G-Wiz behind. A G-Wiz takes the dirt and throws it to the plant, you know, and cuts the grass, gets the grass up, you know. So, anyhow, when I went to work for John Deere, I saw to it that every year I bought my daddy a new 50-horsepower tractor, a new bush hog, a new planter, a new loader, a new disc.
Every
and
year?
A new tiller every year, and a big lawnmower. Because I had since I was John Deere, I got a little discount.
Yeah, but what would he do with all that stuff?
Oh, he loved it. Because in March the 1st, I would deliver him all his new equipment, and then he would put all the old equipment out there in front of the house.
And sell it.
And 1 week is all gone. Never fail. A week is all gone. People be waiting to buy JB's used equipment. Because he didn't put maybe 50, 100 hours on it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow. So when I was in college, Dad said, you know what I'm going to do, son? I'm going to go up on the hill above the catfish pond. I built him a catfish pond later on. But he said, I'm going to go up in that low area up there above, and I'm going to plant a bunch of cantaloupes. He said, everybody likes cantaloupes. I'm going to plant about 2 acres of cantaloupes. So anyhow, he did. And I come home one after everything was planted and was up, and Mama said, ask your daddy how his garden's doing. So Daddy couldn't see very good. He'd have to look over the top of his glasses, you know. So what he did, he went to the feed and seed store and got about 20 pounds of, he thought, cantaloupe seed. But it was cucumber seed. We had 4 acres of cucumbers up there. People for a month came from all around. They came from as much as 10, 12 miles. JB's got plenty of cucumbers. Go get them. And it's no telling how many bushels of cucumbers was hauled out of that field. I'm telling you, I laughed at him about that for a long time, but he loved it. Come on up. We'll go up and get what you want. And the coyotes, you could hear them up there, but we had so many cucumbers, they had all they wanted to eat. They'd get fat. You know, you'd see where they'd ate that night before, you know, and you'd hear them howling up there at night. I bet there's 15 coyotes up there. Hmm. But, you know, they ate all the cucumbers they wanted, and there were probably more pickles put up that year in that part of the country than in history. But, you know, a cucumber seed looks similar to a cantaloupe seed if you can't see very good. And he just scooped them up. He's in a hurry, you know. Put them in his planter. I had him on an automatic planter and sold them everywhere. And then took his disc and cut them in. And then took a little roller I made for him. And it rolled it down. And he got some good rain. And they grew up. They look similar to a cantaloupe when they're coming up.
So you could defend him in court.
Oh, yes. Oh, I could defend
making
him.
Making that mistake.
Oh, yes, I guarantee you. And I picked at him a lot. I said, next time I said, plant watermelons.
Well, that would be hard to harvest there because that's the one thing about a watermelon. They're pretty darn heavy, I bet you, especially in Louisiana. Your dad loved his garden, and I believe that's where he met his maker.
Well, let me tell you, we always had a potato garden, we had a vegetable garden, and a corn garden. And we planted purple peas with the corn so they'd run up the corn so we wouldn't have to pick them below. Well, anyhow, Dad was coming out of the garden, 79 years old, and he had a bucket, a five-gallon bucket of potatoes in one hand and a five-gallon bucket of potatoes in the other hand. One was for his next-door neighbor that he loved dearly, and one was for his preacher. And that's where he went on to meet the Lord.
He died literally coming out of the garden.
He wouldn't have it no other way.
Golly.
Yep.
What a story. Your dad's name?
J.B. Hicks.
J.B. Hicks. What year did you lose him?
I lost him in 1983.
Golly.
Yep. But, you know, we had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I learned how to cut meat. I learned how to procure meat. You know, he ran a big meat locker for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And fish, you know, fish. He loved to fish. I bought him a fishing boat, a motor, and a trailer, and everything, and a Bronco, you know, when he retired. He and my mama kept 3,400 crappie the first year they fished.
Yeah, you're a pretty good son. Of course, he was a pretty good dad, it sounds like.
And I remember what it was like when we were poor. Mm-hmm. And we grew up poor.
Yeah.
But Daddy worked hard, and then people wanted him to run for county commissioner, they called it here, down there as police juror. And he dealt with a handshake. He didn't have to have a contract. And he won the police juror, and, of course, that was additional income, and he got to be a police juror for 21 years, never had a runoff. But his hand and his word was his bond.
Man.
So good that's people. How I grew up.
Yeah, well, that's good raising right there.
You got it. Can't beat it.
And I'm sure your mama was pretty good, too.
Can't beat it. She's the best cook in the world.
She was?
She was an official mourner.
What
anytime anybody died, anywhere, it don't matter where, any church, anywhere around within 15 miles, mama had something there for him to eat.
How about that? What was her best dish?
Huh?
What was the best thing?
Homemade pound cake with a lot of butter.
Ooh. Ooh, with that, we got to take a break here on the Y'all Show. When we come back, Daryl, you and I are going to wrap this show up with a look at some festivals taking place this weekend. Maybe we'll find out what's going on in Louisiana. All right, here on the Y'all Show. Stay tuned. More of the fun coming up with Daryl Hicks. We want to hear you here at Super Talk. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Super Talk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Super Talk 93.1 text line.
Baby, to try to get a date. My boss says, no dice, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Tell them about it, Alan. Welcome back. We're gonna wrap up this Y'all Show on this Thursday with Mr. Cajun Cooker himself, Daryl Hicks, in with us on this great day across the Southeast. And if you don't have your weekend schedule all planned out, here we're going to close out this show telling you about some great festivals taking place around the Southeast this weekend. So, Daryl, I don't know how much gas you got in your tank, but if you don't have a plan, maybe one of these plans will come through right now.
I got 3/4 of the tank.
All right. Well, let's start off in a good place, St. Petersburg, Florida. This weekend, it's the Tampa Bay Ice Cream Festival. You reckon they got any homemade ice cream there?
I hope so. We're going to have some Sunday night at Inglewood. I know that.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to make sure I stop by there.
Yeah, boy.
Nothing like good. What type
peach.
Of ice cream?
I'm making
peach.
Ooh, my favorite. Yeah, and hey, there ain't going to be no shortage of peaches in it either.
Oh, yeah. Summertime peach ice cream is incredible. All right. Also this weekend in Somerset, Kentucky, it's the Master Musicians Festival at Somerset Community College. How about this lineup? Appearing this weekend in Somerset, Winona Judd, also the Louisville Orchestra is going to be there, and a whole bunch of other acts as part of the Master Musicians Festival at Somerset Community College in Kentucky this weekend. Over in Sea Island, Georgia this weekend, it's the Sea Island Shrimp Festival.
Ooh. Ooh, I bet that's good.
You think?
Yeah.
That's a City Market Seafood is where this is going to be taking place, at Cloister Drive in Sea Island, Georgia, not all that far from Jacksonville, Florida, if you're in the area. Check that out this weekend. How about this weekend in Mount Airy, Maryland? It's the Summer Reggae Festival, and that's going to be taking place at the Lingamore Wine Cellars in Mount Airy, Maryland this weekend. Elsewhere across the Southeast this weekend, I've been to this place, and Daryl, I thought I was going to die because it was about this time that I went there passing out copies of Y'all magazine to all the cabins at the Neshoba County Fair.
Oh, let me tell you something. That's something down there now.
This weekend, it's the Choctaw Indian Fair
right.
in Philadelphia.
I know quite where that is. I know people that go to it every year. I know people that got a house down there.
Yeah, it's awesome. In fact, the one time I went passing out Y'all, I saw the entire Manning family because they go there.
They got a house down there. Yeah, they got a place. I call it a house, a cabin. Yeah, they all down
there.
I saw
Peyton and Eli and Archie and all of them right there.
Yep.
Because that's where his wife, Archie's wife, Olivia, is from Philadelphia, Mississippi. And the Choctaw Indian Fair is this weekend. By the way, West Tennessee artist native Russell Dickerson is going to be performing down at the Neshoba County Fair July 28th. So keep that in mind. But for right now, for this weekend, it's the Choctaw Indian Fair, which then turns into the Neshoba County Fair in Neshoba County, Mississippi. This weekend in Arkansas, in Bentonville, it's the Arkansas Anime Festival. Do you know much about anime?
I don't know much about anime.
You don't have a clue?
I don't have no idea what anime is.
Well, that's why I actually have a definition right here, because a lot of people don't know.
Come on with it.
Anime is a animated sort of deal that originated in Japan. It's like cartoonish type. There's a lot of people into it now, especially the younger folks. And again, this is a term for animated works, regardless of style or origin. Anime or animation produced outside Japan with similar style to Japanese animation is referred to anime-influenced animation. And the Japanese have been using this style since 1917. So anime is something a lot of people get into in today's world. And in Bentonville this weekend, it's the Arkansas Anime Festival. So
I bet there'll be some rich people doing it. What do you want to bet?
I don't know. How about Lenoir, North Carolina? And there this weekend, you'll find the North Carolina Blackberry Festival.
Ooh.
And that made me do some research. So blackberries aren't, in my opinion, commonly found in the South. At least they're not commercially grown, as far as I know.
In gardens, mostly.
Yeah,
you can find wild blackberries. You can find wild blackberries around this part of the country.
So there are some states, mostly out west, that are known for blackberries. Oregon has the highest production of blackberries. But in the South, some states do pretty good. Texas, Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina, as they have cultivars produced vary by the state and climate in which they're grown. There are some various varieties of blackberries that I wanted to bring up here. So you've got a cultivar named the Chester Thornless. Have you heard of that one? Thornless blackberry. And so Marion is one of the most popular blackberry cultivars in the United States. So you might have them in the garden, you say? You can plant them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people, and they grow on vines, and they get real big.
Okay.
But I grew up in Louisiana picking blackberries, making jelly and jam and cobblers out of them, and you had to be careful because on them vines sometime, in the blackberry patch, we called it, you'd find a copperheaded, rattle-headed moccasin.
Ooh, yikes.
Yes.
I don't know if you'll find I don't know if you'll find that in Lenoir, North Carolina this week.
That's right.
But it's the North Carolina Blackberry Festival. Speaking of fruits, you can go to Porter, Oklahoma this weekend. It's the Porter Peach Festival taking place right there Have you been there?
No, I haven't been. I didn't know they had peaches in Oklahoma that much.
It's all right there on Main Street this weekend. Go there, check it out. This weekend in Gaffney, South Carolina, they have their own peach festival there, and it's the South Carolina Peach Festival taking place at Lake Welchel in Gaffney, South Carolina. And a girl from Louisiana, the biggest name probably going in country music right now, is going to be performing, a lady, I should say, is going to be performing at the South Carolina Peach Festival on Friday evening. And she is from Baskin, Louisiana.
Baskin, that's down south.
That's up north if you're in Louisiana.
I mean, it's down south from here, but it's it's up around Shreveport, I think.
It's actually in northeast Louisiana.
Yeah, that's it. It's up around Halton and Monroe up in that area.
It's a little southeast of Monroe.
It's a little bit of spot in the road.
Yeah, that's what she said. She calls it a speed trap.
Yeah, it is. It is. Baskin's a speed trap.
But Lainey Wilson is who I'm talking about, and she's got so many great songs. She's going to be performing Friday at the South Carolina Peach Festival in Gaffney, South Carolina. And speaking of speed traps, I've been busted in Gaffney before. If you miss Lainey Friday, you're in luck, because the very next day, this isn't a festival, but it is a big concert, at Bank of America in downtown Charlotte, the home of the Panthers, on Saturday, Lainey's going to be performing alongside Luke Combs as part of his world tour. Riley Green will be there, as well as Brent Cobb and Flatland Cavalry, all part of the Luke Combs world tour at Bank of America Stadium this weekend. So how about that fun, Daryl?
That's pretty cool. A lot of entertainment.
Yeah, and Luke Combs is one of the big stars of music right now, too.
Oh, yes.
In Middle Tennessee this weekend, it's the Watertown Jazz Festival in Watertown, Tennessee.
I know right where it is. I go through it every time I go to the plant at Smithfield.
Don't they have a lake? Smith Lake, or what's it called? What's the lake over there?
I can't even think of it. It's right out of Smithfield.
Center Hill.
Center Hill Lake. Center Hill Dam. Center Hill Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great little town, Watertown. That's a big festival now. And every now and then, you know, they have the Fiddling Festival at Smithfield.
Smithfield.
Tennessee, right up above it.
Yep, got it. All right. This weekend in Richmond, Virginia, it's the Southern Soul Music Festival on Browns Island. So getting a little soul in the capital of the Commonwealth. Also this weekend, hey, we need to go to this in Clute, Texas. You heard of that one?
I don't know where Clute is. Don't know where that is.
Okay. Well, this weekend you should go there, Daryl, because it's the Great Texas Mosquito Festival.
Whew.
Celebrating mosquitoes in Texas.
You know, I had a friend of mine came through Wyoming, Montana the other day, and then Utah, they like to carry him off. He had to wipe them off his – finally got out of him. He had to wipe them off his lights.
Is that right?
Yeah. He said they were awful. You know, I guess they're big as Grobecks. That's what we'd say when they're big like that, you know. Now, I'll tell you where they are worse, too. Canada, Alaska.
Hey.
Oh, out in the woods. Oh, my gracious.
All right. Well, if you don't want to get your mosquito thrill going this weekend, go to Sedalia, Missouri. This weekend, it's the 49th anniversary of the Ozark Music Festival.
That'll be cool there. Yeah,
that's
going to
be at the Puzzle Pieces Smoke Emporium in Sedalia, Missouri. Fun going on there this weekend.
Yep.
If you don't have a plan. In Daryl's native Louisiana, place I've been to, you got to really be wanting to go to this place, Grand Isle. This weekend, it's the Island Strong Music Fest.
Let me tell you something. There'll be some Zydeco there out of sight, baby. Let me tell you. I mean, if you like Zydeco music, you need to go there.
What's that highway that goes down there? There's only one road.
Highway 1.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, Highway 1 goes through La Rose.
Right down the Grand. Right down La Rose, right down the Grand. I'm telling you, there'll be some fine music down there.
I'm sure.
They'll start and dance into all night and all day.
I'm sure they
will. And drink a little beer on the side.
No way. You got to be kidding me.
On the side.
Wetumpka, Alabama. This weekend, it's the Wetumpka's River and Blues Music and Arts Festival. That's going to be taking place Saturday in Wetumpka, which is just to the north of Montgomery. Should be fun there. And let's see here. I think we got one more to point out here. We're going to take you to West Virginia. Snowshoe. You been there?
I've been to Snowshoe.
Snowshoe, West Virginia. It's a ski resort. And this weekend, it's the 4848 Festival at Snowshoe Mountain Resort. The reason it's called 4848, take a guess.
It was 48 states.
No. that's the elevation there.
Okay.
4,848 feet is Snowshoe. And Snowshoe's kind of on the Virginia border in southeastern West Virginia. But Snowshoe is in Pocahontas County, West Virginia, and that's where you'll find the Snowshoe Mountain Ski Resort. And, yeah, you can't probably do a lot of snow skiing in July, but a lot of people head to that part of West Virginia in the summer months, as it has a lot of shopping and other activities that you can do there. It's home of the Grand National Cross Country Racing Event. all right there, and it got a great golf course and mountain biking trails, all in Snowshoe, West Virginia.
Snowshoe, West Virginia. If you don't have anywhere else to go, there's always something going on in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, that sounds like you just went there.
Go down to the new restaurant, Jason Aldean's, and have a barbecue brisket slider.
And you make those.
You got it, baby. And they are selling the hoo-poo out of them. Well, sent another load of brisket up there today. I'm serious. Yeah. That's three loads in 3 weeks.
Not bad. Has Jason Aldean personally thanked you for that?
We have a meeting in 2 weeks.
All right.
We're going to expand some other locations.
Awesome.
Pretty cool for me.
Yeah, that's great.
Country boy from Buckeye.
Well, he's a country boy from Georgia, so yep. I'm glad. And he's a conservative, big time.
You bet.
He's got a great song out right now that talks about some of this political craziness.
I told him when we went duck hunting this fall, he's going duck hunting with me this fall, he and his son and the chef and his son, I said, you can write a song during the duck hunt, I guarantee you, with all the stuff goes on in my duck blind.
Daryl Hicks, the Cajun Cooker, tell us what we can find at Cajun Cooker.
Anything you want, barbecue, brisket, barbecue, pulled pork, and we got smoked ribs, we got fresh ribs, we got fresh bacon wrapped thighs, just anything you want in the barbecue line. And I'm waiting on some mix right now. I'm fixing to get back in the shrimp world.
Now, if you're willing to travel, and you should, you can find the Cajun Cooker. What's the best way for people to maybe put an order in?
Go out 45 towards Milan and Humboldt and Milan, and right there at the split, there's a big marathon station right there. In the building right to the left, you'll see a red building right beside it, right there.
All right, and what's your number?
731-668-1571, or my phone is 731-394-2906, and I pretty well answer my phone.
All right, Daryl Hicks, the Cajun Cooker.
And we enjoyed it today.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on. Always fun to catch up with you. And
you got it.
Always leave us hungry for more, literally.
That's right.
Daryl Hicks, hey, thank y'all for being a part of our show. We will be back here Friday for more of the conversation of what goes on in Dixie. We are the Y'all Show. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your day.